Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. We're right in the middle of camp meeting season, and I could think of no better song to play than Victory in Jesus, a song that's sung so often in camp meetings. And today we're going to be featuring a sermon preached by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, in a camp meeting, Brown City Missionary Camp in Brown City, Michigan, one of the great holiness camps in America. And we're going to feature that sermon today as well as next weekend. And it is from Psalm 91, my father's favorite chapter in the Bible. And I hope it'll be a blessing. I know it'll be a blessing to you. So thanks so much for tuning in to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I am finishing up camp meeting in North Carolina. I am at Camp Wesley, and the meeting closes on this 23rd day of the month of June. You're listening out of Greensboro, you're listening on Saturday. We close the camp meeting in China Grove, North Carolina on the 23rd. And you have time to come if you live in the High Point, Greensboro, Salisbury area. We'd love to have you come for the final day of the services. Don't forget to pray for me as I'm involved in these camp meetings during the month of June and July. And in July, I'm going to be traveling to Camp Syker. That'll be July 18th to 28. And between now and then, I'm also going to be at Cross Point Wesleyan Church in Orab, Ohio. That's July 7 to 10. So I do cover your prayers. Your prayers mean so much as I'm involved in this kind of revival and camp meeting ministry. It is 5-weekend month, and so that means extra expense for airtime. So I hope you'll take just a few minutes to pray about, help keeping us on your radio station. That would mean so much. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through Venmo or through PayPal there on the homepage. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to bring the program to the listening audience today, and I pray the sermon Dad will preach will touch hearts and lift spirits, encourage us through the Word, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for listening today.
I want to share with you a passage of scripture that is found in the 91st Psalm. And I want to read from this 91st Psalm, beginning with verse 7. And you'll notice these words as I read the remaining verses of the chapter. And I'll wait till you find it. A fellow said to me some time ago, he said, Brother Loman, do you know what the 11th commandment is? I said, no. He said, thou shalt not announce a passage of scripture and read it before the people find it. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee and preserve thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. These verses in the 91st chapter of the book of Psalms. And I'll not use just a single verse, but rather as the Spirit shall help us, use several statements out of this passage as a basis for the message tonight. If I were to ask this great audience this Monday night, what is your favorite passage of Scripture? What passage in the Word of God stands out a little more than any other, or that's been a favorite of yours across the years? I'm sure the answers would be varied and many, because one passage of Scripture that is beneficial, uplifting, inspiring, challenging to one person might not necessarily be so to someone else. To those of you in your senior years, many of you might have immediately thought of that tremendous passage found in the 23rd Psalm that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul, and so on. But with many of you, it may be as it is with the preacher tonight. You might say, Brother Lohman, the 91st Psalm has been my favorite passage across the years of my Christian experience. I can truthfully say that I do not believe there is a chapter in the entire 66 books in the Bible that has meant quite as much to me as the truth that is found in this chapter. I've nestled my soul upon its promises. I've been lifted in spirit at times when it was dark and when it seemed as though I would never see another ray of light. I could find that sustenance and that strength in the promises that are found in this particular chapter tonight. I remember some years ago when I was pastoring in North Carolina that one Sunday morning I preached from the first part of this chapter that says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Little lady sitting down front would wipe a tear from her eye and lift a little hand toward heaven. And I knew that something was going on in the inner recesses of her soul. When I had finished, I was standing at the door, shaking hands with my parishioners, and she came by me and took my hand. She said, Brother Lohman, the message was just exactly what I needed this morning. I've been going through deep waters. I haven't been well recently. And the promises that you preached about was a source of strength to my soul. She said, I know that you're going away for a meeting tomorrow. And when you return, I want you and your family to have dinner with us the following Sunday. I thanked her for her words of appreciation for my message and accepted that invitation. And I went the next morning to Louisville, Kentucky to begin revival in the First Church of the Nazarene. On Friday morning, I received a long distance call informing me that that little lady that had received so much help from my sermon the Sunday before had suddenly gone home to be with the Lord. And they wanted me to return home on Saturday and officiate at her funeral service. I flew back to North Carolina on Saturday morning, stood with the family prior to the funeral service. And as I looked into that silent face as she was there in her casket, I thought of what she said to me the Sunday before. The message was just what I needed. I haven't been well recently, been going through deep waters. And then it dawned on me that the promises that meant so much to her in that message that day could be and ought to be applicable to the heart and the life of every person that knows anything at all about saving grace and the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every promise there is in this book, in the 66 books where there's a promise, it ought to be applicable to your life. You ought to be made a beneficiary, and I believe you are, if you're living where you ought to be in the realm of divine grace. But let the preacher say to you tonight, and I want each one of you to listen closely to what I'm trying to say to you, that these promises that are found in this chapter and in other areas of the book are not just glibly thrown out by the great God of the skies. There are some contingencies that have to be measured up to if we're going to be beneficiaries of all these promises, and they'll be applicable to our individual life. And you can have every promise. It can be real. It can enrich your life. But there's some things that you have to measure up to in order to receive the benefit of all these promises. And three times in the passage that I read in your hearing, the word because is mentioned. And they used to tell me when I was in school that every effect had to have an adequate cause. In other words, if something was beneficial and was worthwhile, there was a reason for it. It just didn't happen so. There was a reason why it became a benefit, or it was something that was worthwhile. And in this particular chapter, if you notice in verse 9, first of all, there is the first because, for he says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And in this area, you might ask the question, Mr. Lohman, just what is he talking about at this particular point? He's talking about a relationship that you can have in the Lord Jesus Christ, where you live in him and he lives in you. There is that mutual awareness of his presence. And because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. I'm glad tonight that you can know how wonderful it is to live in him, and he lives in you. His spirit bears witness with your spirit that you belong to the family of God. Do you know beyond any doubt that you have that kind of relationship that has a kindred spirit with the great Godhead of the skies? Not only God the Father and God the Son, but the blessed Holy Spirit bears witness to the fact that you are living in him and he lives in you. And there's that awareness, beloved, of this reality. And when this takes place within your soul, you can understand what Paul meant when he penned those words to the Roman church, when he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. For the law of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And in the 6th chapter of Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. And having therefore been made free from sin, you become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. And understand fully what John meant when he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. But you say, Mr. Lohman, he's talking about the word there. Yes, but go back to the first chapter. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So if the word is in you, then he's in you. And if he abides in you, then the word is not grievous. Any portion of it, you can be a recipient of everything that this book gives to us in the realm of divine promise. And rejoice in the fact that at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Tell me something tonight. What that is more blessed than to know that you've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, and your habitation is where you live, and I live in him, and he lives in me, and I rejoice tonight, beloved, that I have access to everything that he has. You see, if you have him, you can have his, but if you don't have him, you can have no part of his. But if he abides within your soul, then every promise in this book is yours tonight, and you can claim it. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. It may sound a little elementary to you, but a pastor went home several years ago, one day, one Sunday, with two ladies. They were sisters. They were maiden ladies. And while he was waiting for the dinner meal to be prepared and them call him to dinner, he was thumbing through the Bible. That's the only book they had. He didn't have any modern periodicals to thumb through. And he picked up the old family Bible. It was about 2/3 worn out. And he saw some unusual markings out there on the margin. And he would read a verse and notice these markings out there. TP and TP and TP and TP and he turned a page. TP. And his curiosity finally got the best of him. And he walked to the door of the kitchen. He said, ladies, pardon me, but I've been reading your Bible. Bible, and I noticed some markings here that I don't understand. And they, one of them said, "Oh, what is it, Pastor?" "Why, he said out here on the margin, there's the letters TP out by several of these verses. What does that mean?" And he said, she threw up a dish rag and said, "Glory to God. Don't you know what that means?" He said, "No." She said, "Every time you see the letters TP written out there by that verse, it means that that one's been tried and proved." Ladies and gentlemen, if he's your refuge and you abide in him and he abides in you, you can try it. I'm about to get blessed. Hallelujah. I told him this morning, if I didn't think I'd scare somebody, I'd holler out loud, because I'm feeling pretty good tonight. Amen. Oh, beloved, hear me. You can try, you can prove, but it's because you've made him your refuge. The second contingent, I wish I could stay there, but I'll have to go on. The second contingency is found in verse 14, because he has set his love on me. And underline that. Because he set his love on me. And I want to ask you, pardon the vernacular of the world right here. I'm going to get right down to the nitty gritty for a few minutes. And I want to ask you, every one of you tonight, no exceptions, preachers and laymen alike, where is your love tonight? Where is your devotion tonight? Who comes first in your life? Where are your priorities? If you set your love on him and Holy Spirit put it where it belongs, if you set your love on him, everybody and everything else is secondary. He is first. He has preeminence. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I believe that we could have a revival in the holiness movement across America if everybody that professes to be saved and sanctified would start living on the right side of the ledger and get their priorities in the right place. This business is one of the strings that I pick on a little bit. When you set your love on him, he comes first. Sunday morning, he comes first. I've had them to say to me, "Well, Mr. Loman, you don't understand. I work 5 and 6 days a week, and Sunday's the only day I have." I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. That's not your day. That's the Lord's day. And if your priorities are where they ought to be, he'll get his day. And you won't just run off to Sunday school and then leave either. You say, "But Mr. Loman, you don't understand. I have a lot of kin folks that come to see me on Sunday." Well, it's time you got enough religion to serve notice on a bunch of carnal kin folks who comes first at your house. Don't look at somebody else. Look up here. I'm talking to all of us. He comes first. And we are admonished in this book not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and we are exhorted to be faithful in our attendance of the means of grace. There's nobody living, kin folks, friends, or nobody else, that's worth you missing church on Sunday to stay home to cook dinner for them. Some of you ought to have the kind of intestinal fortitude the little lady had that became my wife. And she's sitting back there. We was engaged to be married. I thought she loved me as much as I loved her. And I went to see her one Sunday afternoon, and I said, "Honey, let's don't go to church tonight." She said, "Don't you want to go?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, you can stay here till I get back." I thought she was kidding me. 7:20, she said, "You going?" I said, "No." She said, "I'll be back after a while." She walked out and left me sitting in the front room. You can imagine how I felt. Finally got up and walked to church by myself. I'd enjoyed it a lot better if I'd gone along as she did. But she knew I'd come because she saved room for me to sit beside her when I got there. And I never tried that one again. Young lady said to me some time ago, and you listen, kids. Young lady said to me some time ago, "Brother Loman, my boyfriend won't go with me to church." I said, "Well, young lady, if he won't go with you to church, he's not fit to go with you anywhere else." Amen. And vice versa, young man. And I want to repeat it, I'm not a fanatic and I'm not a fool. I just believe you're going to profess to love him, love him. Put first things first, get your priorities straightened out. I'm old enough to remember when the old T model Ford was. Some people had those things. My daddy had one. And Sunday afternoon used to be the time when everybody visited. They just visited all the time on Sunday. And I've literally seen my mother and heard her about 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon say to our company, and we always had company Sunday afternoon, if you'll stay for supper, we'll get it ready because we go to church at 7 o'clock. No, we can't stay. We'll have to be going, but they didn't go. They just stayed around. After a while, mother would say, now, if you'll stay for a bite of supper, we'll get it ready because we go to church at 7 o'clock. They said, no, we can't stay. We'll have to be going, but they didn't go. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. I've literally seen my dad and mother and my brothers and sisters get in that T-model Ford and drive off and leave company standing on the sidewalk. You say, but we're living in a new day. That makes me sick. That nauseates me. If old-fashioned spiritual priorities were good a few years ago, they ought to be better now. And you better get to the place, ladies and gentlemen, where you set your love on him.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.